for us. I invite you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 this morning. I hope to extend to you the hope of our risen Savior during this time. Romans 6, beginning in verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and commit this time to him. Father, we are so thankful for your word that you've given to us. It is timeless. It speaks to every person in every age about the most significant event of all of history, that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this truth has profound meaning, profound effects on my life today in 2020 in Kadoka, South Dakota. Oh, we thank you. We thank you that this timeless book is in our hands, that through the centuries, people have given their lives so that I can hold this in my hand, so that we can study together, so that we can learn together. And so we commit our time to you very humbly, knowing that we should not take this opportunity for granted. We come humbly before you and come to your word. Holy Spirit, teach us now. And Jesus, be exalted on high as we look at your resurrected life. We pray in your name. Amen. This is a message of hope. But in order to get to that hope, we have to hear the bad news first. We live in a world of contrasts. You and I know what a warm, sunny day is because we know what a cold, cloudy, and rainy, and snowy day is. You and I know what light is because we know what dark is. You and I know what joy is because we know what sadness and sorrow is. This, in fact, is largely how the Bible works, by showing us contrasts. But more than all of that, I want us to see that the resurrection is an answer to an actual problem. Namely, my sin and your sin is a punishable offense against a holy God. And so you don't have an outline on a piece of paper before you this morning. So let me give you an outline that you can either write down or you can make a mental note of each of these points and have a place to hang some thoughts. First, what is death? Second, what is life? And third, what is a resurrected life? Number one, what is death? Number two, what is life? And number three, what is a resurrected life? So first, let's answer this question, what is death? The entrance of death into the world is a result of our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeying God and taking of the forbidden fruit. And from that fateful beginning, mankind has been plunged into death. Adam and Eve died. And death has reigned since that moment. Physical death is a result of living in a world that is plagued by sin. Yes, you heard it, plagued by sin. Consider this. We may have a high percentage of contract contracting the coronavirus right now. But we are already infected with a much more serious disease. The plague of sin has a 100% infection rate and a 100% mortality rate. There is no escaping the plague of sin. And so whether it's a coronavirus, whether it's a car crash or cancer or one of a million other ills that infects mankind, we will all die. Every single one of us. Some in the next year, some in the next decade, and some in the next 6 or 7 decades. But be sure that you and I are headed for death. This short life is like your breath that you can see for a very brief moment on a cold morning like today. But more serious than that, more serious than our physical death, is our spiritual death. Paul, writing to physically alive people in the book of Ephesians, he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world." You see, this sin incurs the righteous and just wrath of God. Eternity in hell, the second death. But this bad news begins to turn around, and there is a third sort of death spoken of right here in our text in Romans 6. That is this, the death to our old self. The death to our old self. Death to the power of sin. In other words, a death to our spiritually dead self. Look with me, if you will, at Romans 6, verse 5. Notice what it says. "For if we have been united with him in a death like his," being spiritually united to Christ in a death like his. Now let's ask this question. What sort of death was Jesus' death? Jesus' death was one of the cruelest, most barbaric, most hideous, most painful, most humiliating death evil mankind has ever concocted. If I were to walk you through the torture of Jesus and the progressive approach of death of one who is crucified, hour by hour, minute by minute, you would be sick to your stomach. This was a cruel death. This is the horror and the beauty of the cross. Listen. Look at verses 6 and 7 and follow along with me. "We know that our old self," that's our spiritually dead self, "was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." Oh, this is good news. You've got to grab a hold of this. I want you to think of this in terms of addiction. Think of this in terms of addiction. Addiction is a serious problem in our society today. We have addiction to drugs or alcohol, addiction to pornography or sexual sin, even addiction to texting, social media, or gaming. Now, listen, the person that is addicted is physically alive. They are physically alive, but those that are honest will tell you that they are slaves to their passions. They're slaves. They're in a prison of their own making. And if they could kill that addiction, then they would be set free from slavery to that addiction. Now hear me. We are all addicted to sin, and it is killing us. We are all addicted to sin, and it is killing us. And like the approach of a disease, if you can kill what is killing you, then guess what? You live. If you can kill what is killing you, then you live. And so this is the good news of the gospel, that I am crucified with Christ. Our old self, our deadness and our sins was killed by the death of Christ. Paul says it this way in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so that leads to our second point. What is life? What is life? We know what life is. It's all around us. Physical life is to be cherished and to be honored. When God created mankind, when he created Adam and Eve, he said it was very good. I have said it before, and we affirm in this church that physical life is sacred. All of mankind, from the womb to the tomb, from every race, rich and poor, no matter their philosophy or their politics, every life from conception until natural death is precious. Every single life. However, once again, we are reminded that our lives are, if God wills, 70, or if he gives us strength, 80 years. And then comes eternity. So while affirming the inherent worth and value of every man, we exhort every man to be born again. We exhort every man to be born again. This is what Jesus said to the Jewish teacher Nicodemus, who came to him at night. Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus was using a different analogy to communicate the same truth that Paul is saying. That is, physical life does not guarantee anyone a place in heaven. Just because you were born does not mean you're going to spend eternity with God. Why? Once again, because of Adam's sin. As a result of Adam's sin, you and I may be alive physically, but we are spiritually dead. We are spiritually addicted to the deadly disease of sin, which leads to eternal death. Paul says right here in our text in Romans 6:5 that the only answer to our spiritual predicament is to be spiritually united to Christ in his crucifixion. You see what that is? That is a complete and dramatic death to our old selves. Now let's read the whole verse again. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly, hear that, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. What was Jesus' resurrection like? It was real. It was real. He rose physically. He had a new spiritual body. People saw him and recognized him as a beautifully unique person. He had triumphed over sin. He had triumphed over Satan. He had triumphed over death. And so our resurrection to newness of life will also be real and visible to others. Our spiritual resurrection, our new life in Christ, is our freedom from sin and eternal death. If you can, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to see what Paul says to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 16. He says this, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," hear this, "if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him, that's Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is good news. Jesus took our sin so that we might be clothed in his righteousness. We are made new in Christ. This, friends, is life. There is freedom in Jesus. Freedom not necessarily from the presence of sin, but from the power of sin. Freedom not from the temptations and accusations of Satan, but freedom from his control. Freedom from spiritual death. Therefore, freedom from the fear of physical death. Do you hear me? If we have freedom from spiritual death, we have absolutely nothing to fear about physical death. And so look what Paul writes in verses 8 and 9 of Romans 6. Romans 6, verses 8 and 9. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. This is how the Christian can live with courage, not fearing what man or microbe can do to him. Now, don't mishear me. I did not say we live with foolish abandon. We are to be wise. We are to be careful. But the one who has been spiritually resurrected with Christ can say with the Apostle Paul, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Spiritual life. We have nothing to lose when we come to Christ. We have everything to gain. Now let's answer our third question. What is a resurrected life? Now, in answering this question, let me be clear that a resurrected life is the life of every true believer in Christ. It is not a special class of people. It is not a group that somehow has figured out how to be more holy than other Christians. Not one that looks down upon others, but it is the fact of every true believer. And so look at what Paul tells us in Romans 6, verse 11. He says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Paul lays it out clearly. He says, Jesus did die. Jesus was raised again to God. And if you have repented of your sins, if you have trusted in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins, then you too have been crucified with Christ and raised again to newness of life. And Christ is living his holy life in and through you. Listen, Satan is no longer your taskmaster. You are freed from his bondage. You are adopted into God's family. So back to our question at the very beginning of this message, what significance does Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection have on my life in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic in the 21st century. For the Christian, I say this. Paul exhorts us to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This word consider doesn't mean to just think about it, but rather to count on it. It's not a believing in the impossible like a Disney movie. It's a counting on what has already happened. It's the confidence of writing a check when you know that you have the money in the bank. We have been given the riches of heaven in Christ Jesus. We can draw upon the confidence of the accomplished work of Christ because we have died to our old selves. We are born again and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of Christ. And now maybe you're watching this and you have always been told that you can't know if you're going to heaven. Let me tell you, as sure as Jesus died and rose again, historically, proven historical facts, you can know that your sins are forgiven today and you will be with God for eternity. Come to Him in faith today and you will be a resurrected one. You will be dead to your sins, to your old self, and you will be alive to Christ. There is no pit of sin that His mercy isn't deeper still. And though your sins may be many, His mercy is way greater than your sins. Would you pray with me? Father, this is the good news of the gospel. The good news that we can be freed from the bondage of sin. That we don't have to fear death. If we know You, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, if we have repented of our sins, if we have trusted in You alone, then we are crucified with You and we are risen with You. And it's guaranteed that when You return, our bodies will be physically resurrected and we will spend eternity with You. But it's only in Christ. There is no other way that a person can be saved. It's not by our good works. It's not by where we were born or the family that we have. It is in Christ alone. And so, Jesus, we confess that You are the only Savior and we trust in You. I pray that if there's anyone who is watching this or hearing this, that today would be the day of salvation for them. That they would humble themselves before You, cry out to You, and say, Lord, save me. And we know that You hear that cry of faith. Thank You for hearing us. Thank You that we can gather in this online format to worship You, and we pray that You have been honored today. In Jesus' name, amen.